This is J. Allen Hynek, astronomer and scientific advisor to the United States Air Force. For the next half hour, our reporters will question him in an unrehearsed press conference about unidentified flying objects, flying saucers in space. Press conference. KABC-TV brings you an exclusive and unrehearsed interview with J. Allen Hynek. Asking the questions of him are John Bilby, staff writer for the Herald Examiner, and Bill Wilkes, West Coast Bureau Chief for Technology Magazine. Carl George from Channel 7 News will serve as moderator for press conference, which will begin in just 1 minute.
Dr. J. Allen Hynek. Dr. Hynek is an astronomer. He's a full professor at Northwestern University and has been employed or engaged in the employment as a consultant of the Air Force for flying saucers in the past number of years. Dr. Hynek, let me put it this way. Do you believe that flying saucers exist in the... disregarding those reports that are apparently something that can be, you know, observed, like balloons or sort of...
The UFOs.
Yes.
The UFOs. I would like to clarify two things right away. One is, do I believe in flying saucers?
I believe this is an element of faith that we're talking here.
Yes, the word of belief, I believe, belongs more properly in theology than it does in science. I think we should say, what is the evidence? To what extent does the evidence lead us to think that this is more probable than that, rather than do you believe? Because, in a sense, you might say, I believe in Madagascar, although I've never been there. So I'd like to have that point clear. And then the perhaps distinction between UFOs and flying saucers. Flying saucers, to me, implies already an interpretation of a fact, whereas a UFO is basically a report of something that has puzzled somebody.
Do UFOs exist from scientific evidence?
Most certainly. UFOs, as reports of tremendously interesting things, exist. And I also want to separate the UFO from the IFO. A UFO simply means unidentified flying object. And it is unidentified to the person seeing it, or to a group of people. It may not be unidentified to people more technically trained, so that you have, in the great majority of cases that I've examined at the Air Force, the great majority do turn out to be perfectly normal things. You might say that an IFO, which starts out as a UFO, is a usual thing seen under unusual or surprising circumstances. But then we are left with the residue, rather small residue, sort of like a needle in a haystack situation, of extremely puzzling cases. And I'd like to, for the rest of our discussion here, reserve the term UFO for this residue of extremely puzzling cases.
What would this percentage be?
It's less than 5% of the cases reported.
What seems to be the common characteristic of these UFOs?
Pattern varies widely, but they do have certain geometric, luminescence, and kinematic characteristics. The emotions, for instance, are variously described, but if I were to try to get a least common denominator here, just try to sum up what the majority reports. And I should also point out that for a long while we thought that UFOs were a peculiarly American phenomenon. That was sort of a post-war thing.
Hysteria.
Sort of hysteria, the silly season and this and that. And I went along with that for quite a while. In fact, in 48, when I first started, I would have taken just about any bet that by 1951 or 52, the whole thing would be utterly forgotten, would pass with the goldfish eating craze and things like that. But one of the most significant things in the whole phenomenon has been its persistence. And not just from the United States, but from, well over 70 countries in the world. And you may ask the question is, how do French UFOs compare with Brazilian UFOs?
Okay.
How do those compare with American UFOs? And you'd say that there are, as far as reports, and remembering that UFOs are reports. I'd like to get into later about photographs and hardware and so forth, but for the moment, their reports, and they have certain very definite similarities around the world.
There have been a lot of alleged photographs, and many of them are very similar. If we had somehow come upon photographs of late model Russian planes, I'm sure that there would be aeronautical engineers who'd be studying what design sophistications were. Have engineers been studying these photographs to see what their suitability is for space travel?
Well, the photographs, if we did get a photograph of a new Russian vehicle, we'd know in the beginning, a priori, much more about how that photograph was taken, what it represented, than we do when we are given a UFO photograph. I was asked on a similar program not too long ago, in which the moderator, we have a very nice moderator here, was getting quite mad at me for apparently taking the wind out of some of the UFO buffs' sails. And said, well, what would it take for you to believe a photograph? Well, I said, I would, if I were to present a photograph in court, and then say we had a congressional investigation or a court, and I had to say, do you have a photograph that you will present? I would present it if the following things, I think, were true. If I had an affidavit from two independent witnesses who had seen the photograph being taken, and then if I could have the original negative and some technical data on the camera, the F number, the shutter speed, and the emulsion characteristics, then I would think I'd be foolish not to believe it. But up to now, I have not ever received any photograph that fulfills these criteria.
No photograph at all from any place in the world?
No, sir. No photograph from any place that fulfills these simple criteria. Some come close to it, and I'm not saying, this does not imply that all photographs are hoaxes. We just don't know.
One can't help but think of the report in one of the major magazines of the two people who were apparently taken aboard a spaceship and were
the Darning psychology.
How do you regard that? This was up in the Northeast.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've had the opportunity to talk with the Hills, and I find them extremely normal people. And I, fortunately, I guess in this case, I'm happy that I'm an astronomer and not a psychiatrist, because I can easily say that I'm not competent to pass on a thing. All I can say is simply that the Hills, to me, seemed as convinced, and as far as they feel, they had this experience. I could not call them liars, but whether a psychiatrist would dredge out of their subconscious as some hidden things that cause them to think they have this experience, I just wouldn't know.
Has financial gain come to them or to many other people who've reported seeing?
Certainly not in the beginning. I think they have lately from some of their appearances, but I feel quite certain they didn't go into it for that. Well, your point about financial gain is an interesting thing. UFOs are reports. They exist as reports at the moment. One of the things that I've often asked myself is, why does a person make a report? What does he have to gain except ridicule? And I get letters upon letters saying, if this will help you in your scientific work, I'm happy to send you the information. And these reports are quite articulate. They're not crackpot things. But they'll invariably say, I cannot permit you to use my name because I'm a teacher and this might influence the renewal of my contract, or we have a child in school and we don't want him to be the butt of sarcastic remarks. But they, nonetheless, they have nothing to gain. They get no money for making a report, but they'll do it. I get many letters that will start out, I wasn't going to report this, or I haven't reported it for many years, but I feel it's in my civic duty, or somebody feels, if it'll help scientific investigation, fine.
What about real scientific investigation? I'm thinking now, not just of the investigation of the UFOs per se. I'm thinking now of the great scientific research capability we have in this country. And this is very
great. It's never been mobilized for this purpose, and I think it should be.
What about investigations into some method of perhaps duplicating such
phenomena, perhaps. I'm thinking of some cloud chamber work, perhaps. Mm-hmm. I've seen
plasma work.
There, mm-hmm. And we do have a lot of plasma work. Should there be something like this done to try to see if we can simulate it?
Yes, you bring up an extremely important point here. It's just starting to be done. It would serve us in science and no one any good to go another 20 years and get another 10 or 15 or 20,000 reports. It would just really add more points on the curve, but it would add nothing new. What we need to go is from the passive to the active phase, put up or shut up. In other words, we have to ask the UFO to do this, essentially. And by active phase, I mean, well, now look, if the policemen, in a number of cases, at Ravenna, at Exeter, at Monticello, at Socorro, and I could go and name a whole bunch of them, have had a camera that was loaded, and if they'd known how to use it, or if the girls in Hillsdale, this place, the old swamp gas place,
your famous place.
I think I should get a medal for having made the swamp gas a household word. And anyway, have these girls, they said they saw these lights going back and forth over this swampy area for more than 2 hours. It didn't occur to any of them to take a simple camera, set it on the windowsill, and take a time exposure. We would at least would have had something.
Well, and of course, this would have to meet your conditions, whereby you have two observers in addition to the photographer.
We had something to 87 girls there at the time, so I think we could have met that condition.
Do we know anything about flying saucers or UFOs?
Yeah. Yes, I would say that we do.
Good, and on that point, let's pause for just a moment for this message, and we'll return with the answer to that question after this. Our guest today on press conference is Dr. J. Allen Hynek. Dr. Hynek is a member of the, the Lindheimer?
Lindheimer Astronomical Research Center in
Northwestern University. Dr. Hynek has been involved in the investigation of unidentified flying objects for a number of years, since about 1948.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Way back there.
I posed a question just a moment ago, Doctor. What do we know about flying saucers?
Well,
and I use the term.
You might almost feel this was a rigged question, and I'm sort of glad it came up, because way back last summer I wrote a letter to Science Magazine, feeling that it was time to bring this to attention of my fellow scientists. I felt for a long while like some traveler to distant countries. And when he comes back, he sort of has an obligation to describe the natives.
Nobody wants to see his slides.
Nobody wants to see his slides, that's right. So I did address a letter to Science Magazine, and I'd like to, just so happens I have it here. There are some of the basic, this answers your question, however, I believe. There are some basic misconceptions about UFO reports. For instance, one is that only UFO buffs report UFOs. The exact opposite is almost the truth. Another misconception is that UFOs are reported by unreliable, unstable, and uneducated people. This is, of course, true, but UFOs are reported in even greater numbers by reliable, stable, and educated people. And UFOs are never reported by scientifically trained people. This is definitely wrong. I have some very fine reports from very well highly trained people, but they all want to retain their anonymity. We are developing, you might say, sort of an invisible college of, not only in this country, but in England, France, Argentina, Brazil, are maintaining sort of a
network of spies, kind of?
That's the wrong word. Even underground is too much. Just sort of scientists anonymous, who are, have expressed a very real interest, but feel that because the ridicule is still so likely, they don't want to say much about it.
I get right back to this question of what do we know?
What do we know? All right, we know that they are reports that come from, many of which come from reliable people. Many, of course, and it come from unreliable people.
Again, we're dealing with reports.
We're dealing with reports. You want to know, do we know anything more than their reports? We have no hardware. To the best of my knowledge, and this is a wild rumor that comes up every once in a while, the Wright Field has some little green men locked away in some downstairs cavern.
Yes, or, I heard the rumor that President Eisenhower at one time spoke with a man from a flying saucer.
Well, I hadn't heard that one, but the rumor mill is terrific in this game. And there's never been an authenticated piece of hardware. No UFO has ever dumped anything off the coast of Spain. Anything of the sort. Never got into trouble. So the hardware is out. And as we've already talked about photographs, there's nothing tangible. So, of course, it is quite logical for the Air Force and science in general to say for years, well, since there's no hardware, nothing tangible, not even good movies or photographs, why bother with it? Just a bunch of nuts reporting things. And, of course, there are nuts. Lots of them. These people who tell you they've taken rides in flying saucers and they describe conditions on Venus which never agree at all with our scientific findings. See, if they went to Venus or Mars and came back with something that you could test, if they gave us the temperature on the surface of Mars, if they gave us something about the chemical composition of planets, but no, they always come back with some highfalutin story about tall, blonde people and a great many love adventures on Venus and Saturn and that sort of thing.
If I may pursue the question I brought up a while ago, you say that some scientific investigation that is outside of the pure reports of flying saucers, implying that perhaps some work is going on in the lab now. Could you explain a little bit of that?
Well, the Condon Committee at the University of Colorado has been charged now with the responsibility of taking a scientific look at UFOs. And Ed Condon was for years, as you know, the director of the Bureau of Standards and a very solid person in the whole scientific field. He and his group are really taking a look at this, and I cannot speak for them, obviously, but I understand that they are undertaking investigations of physical things. For instance, such things, many, many reports come in saying that a person's car was stopped. UFO came by and their car stopped, and when the UFO left, the car started again.
What about duplicating the appearance of a flying saucer in, say, a plasma chamber or a cloud chamber? Some work along those lines has been done in other investigations, and I think you can create phenomena that would give that appearance.
Couldn't engineers figure whether the discus shape, for example, of a common saucer photo would be more suitable for space or for
atmosphere? I think they could do that aerodynamically, but if the UFOs, the ones that are described as intense bright lights, turn out to be plasma, then this is really something that the AEC should know about, because this would go a long way, Atomic Energy Commission. But this should go a long way in solving the magnetic bottle problem. The problem is how do you contain plasma? Well, if nature has figured out some way of containing plasma in 30 feet globes or disks, then we should know about it. It should be. You're quite right. It should be studied. And I think that the Condon Committee is doing precisely these things.
What is the best explanation you have right now of the so far unexplained sightings you've had reported to you? Those that you can't. Mm-hmm. Explain away by natural phenomena or something else. What is the best explanation you have of flying saucers right now, or do you have one?
But simply do not. I think we have to say, in all honesty, if there's anything, well, let's put it this way. There are, say, four large categories in which explanations fall. One, of course, the one that's been used for so long is it's all nonsense. It's still a slight probability that might turn out to be the case, but I don't think so. Second is that there's secret weapons being tested by this government or that government. But that seems unlikely to me, simply because it's hard to keep a secret for 20 years, and one doesn't test secret devices in 70 countries. The third is, of course, extraterrestrial intelligence, ETI. This is a popular one, because it's amazing how the human race wants devoutly to believe, and here I use the word belief in its proper sense, wants to believe in possible help from outside. Only they desperately want to. They're looking for a scientific father image of the sky. And of course, astronomers will go along with the idea that there is life, very likely life elsewhere. It would be cosmically provincial to think today that there isn't. But the problem is, of course, getting here and communicating. That's a totally different situation. And then the fourth possibility is that we're dealing with heretofore unknown, but perfectly natural, normal, physical phenomenon. And you say, well, how can this be? On the other hand, just put yourself back 100 years. Suppose somebody, when we were crossing the plains in a covered wagon, somebody had glibly begun to talk about nuclear energy. But in those days, they didn't even know that the atom had a nucleus, let alone that you could get energy out of it. They were in a totally incomprehensible thing to people at that time. Well, how do we know, just because it's 1967, that by the year 2567, we won't know things that will make our knowledge today look childish?
And on that point, let's pause for this message. Taken in 1952 in Passaic, New Jersey, by an amateur photographer, how do you interpret that photograph? And are there enough of them?
I wouldn't know how to interpret it, since I don't have the original negative. It's been a crop. We don't have any background. In the bottom one, there is background. But how do we know? It may be perfectly correct, or perfectly authentic. On the other hand, it may be a hoax. And unless we have the original negative and the technical data on it, it's almost pointless to try to...
Can photographs really tell us anything?
If they're properly taken, and if we know the circumstances under which they were taken, most certainly. And I think that the real need, and I would like to almost make a plea on bended knee here, that we need photographs. And I think particularly police squad cars should be equipped with cameras. Cameras are less expensive than guns, and if squad cars carried cameras, we'd probably eventually get some pictures, which we desperately need.
You're the principal civilian consultant to the Air Force on UFOs. If you were to find irrefutable evidence that UFOs came from another planet, would you be prevented from making this public immediately, or would this be delayed in any way?
Not at all. As a scientist and a professor at an independent university, I would have every right to say what I want. I would probably take counsel, because suppose if we've had this evidence, you say, you're hypothesizing that we were absolutely certain, then I think it would be important to let certain government people know first, let's say. But as far as whether I would be, say, muzzled, kept from saying anything, I could.
Is anything at all classified about your investigation, the Air Force?
I know they've frequently been accused of this, but the classification occurs when military installations are concerned, or sometimes when we find that we get a report from a person in a mental institution or a person with a criminal record, it's far better to classify that report than to open this person to embarrassment.
What is your personal view? From all the things that you've been studying since 1948, what do you think they really are? Are they from outer space? Are they from some other planet with...
I would have to say we must keep an open mind on it. I honestly don't know what I think is that we now finally are coming down to a real scientific investigation of this whole matter, which should have been done a long time ago.
Thank you very much for being with us today, Dr. Hynek. Our guest, Dr. J. Allen Hynek, certainly the United States' greatest authority on unidentified flying objects and flying saucers. Thank you again for being with us. I hope you'll be back with us again next week at the same time. Until then, this is Carl George. Good afternoon.